This is Dairy Rewind, a look back at what happened this week in the dairy industry. Monday.
The June Dairy Products Report had a few surprises in it, but likely isn't going to influence the market, not according to StoneX Dairy's Dave Krzyzewski.
I don't know that the report matters so much. I mean, it's good to see the numbers, but as we walk into August here, we're getting into a different time of year demand-wise, and I think if you look at the GDT numbers from last week as well, they've been weak for six or seven events in a row. With the S&P was actually up a little bit, but powders generally have been weaker. But if you look at the number, the absolute dollar value, you're at $3,000 a metric ton or greater. In my very simple mind, I look at that and say, well, if you're over $3,000 a metric ton, that's kind of the benchmark for bull market or bear market. If you're below that level, you're in kind of more of a bear market. If you're above that level, you're in kind of more of a bull market. So I look at this whole summer as a correction in prices domestically and globally. So I'm not real shaken up by the report.
Tuesday.
Here we go again. Seems like deja vu with the Delta variant. Dan Bossi, president of Ag Resource.
We noticed that the anxiety produced by the new Delta COVID variant, we were trending lower all the way into the middle of summer. We then started, middle of July, started to tick up, and those increases are likely to continue heading into our school year, which will begin either in mid-August down in the south or early September up in the north. Now, this is causing politicians some real anxiety. It's bringing back mask mandates, and you know, we all get into this discussion about lockdowns again. The one thing this COVID variant is different from is that its mortality rate is relatively low. And I think that's the important thing to focus on. We are now talking about mortality rates of about a half of 1%. So we are at the rate of flu. Now, if you go back and do your history on the flu variants, they go all the way back to 1917 and that Spanish flu that again caused the pandemic. I'm willing to bet that the variants on COVID will continue to be widespread in the decades ahead. However, unlike now, we will learn to live with this. There still may be some mask requirements, but I don't think the population is going to get really excited unless we see mortality rates start to ramp up above where they are today.
Wednesday.
Ryan, we're looking at the forage program, and you're here today to tell us all about forage inoculant.
Really, there's two workhorses in our inoculants. One is strains of bacteria that will help lower the pH to preserve the silage, and then the other one is enzymes. And not all inoculants out there have both bacteria and enzymes, and they both have different functions. We can kind of dive into why. The bacteria will use material in the feed to grow, and then they produce byproducts. Oftentimes those byproducts are lactic acids or other acids, sometimes acetic acid, and then those lower the pH of the silage, and that preserves it. Well, the enzymes actually help feed the bacteria so that they can work faster. The whole key to silage fermentation is speed. We want to get that pH as low as possible, as fast as possible. That's going to help us do things like retain dry matter, retain higher levels of protein, higher levels of sugar, and that just makes the feed more valuable to the farmer the faster it ferments.
Thursday.
Solar, the cost of it has significantly come down to the point where you're seeing solar go up on all sorts of operations, homes, businesses. You drive through the Midwest, there's hog operations, chicken operations. So you know the price point is good when it's really hitting big stream in the ag sector. But there's also a lot of incentives and rebate programs and grant program opportunities that are out here for producers. So, you know, while we talk about this great opportunity, your experience with solar is going to greatly depend on the parameters because everybody kind of manages renewable energy differently.
That's Adam Whaling from Chippewa Valley Technical College.
Friday.
So let's look at some of the, what I would call basics 101 on corn silage production. Harvest dry matter, 32 to 36% would be the optimal range to be in. Be well aware, listeners, that as the dry matter goes above 35 or 36, the starch levels increase with it. So you'll end up getting more starch if you wait till later, but then that starch becomes a lot harder. More about that in just a minute. Second of all, be well aware not to use the milk line. That was the old school way to determine when milk line was one half to two thirds down the kernel of corn. Now we recommend using the dry matter level to ensure good fermentation. So our take-home messages are that certainly corn silage is here. Be sure to use all the good technology applications we have and have a great day.
And that's Dr. Mike Hutchins. To listen to more, go to dairyradio.com.
Dairy Rewind.